friends. This is We Have Thoughts, your friendly neighborhood podcast where we talk about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Anna.
There's another one here.
Someone.
Did you say your name?
Yeah, she did. We said it at the same time.
Oh, okay. Did you? You kept cutting out.
Oh, I'm Joy.
There it is. Okay. And we're discussing the 2013 Oscars. Today, we're talking about Life of Pi. Along with Best Picture, it was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay by David McGee, based on the novel by Jan Martel. Best Original Song, Best Sound Editing, Best Sound Mixing, Best Production Design, Best Film Editing. It won for Best Visual Effects, Best Cinematography for Claudio Miranda, Best Original Score by Michael Dana, and Best Director Ang Lee. It got 11 nominations and 4 wins total. What did we think of Life of Pi?
This was my first time watching it.
Oh, really? Anna! And what'd you think?
I thought it was beautiful. I also... Okay, so fun fact, we're recording this July 17th. 3 weeks ago, I fell and broke my arm and had to have surgery, and it was terrible. And so for about 2 weeks, I was kind of in and out of it and wasn't really, like, watching or doing anything. But right before I broke my arm, I had started reading the book because I was like, we're going to have a couple of weeks. I think I can knock this out and read the book. But I didn't get to finish it before this, so I'm a little upset. But I read up until we see the main Pi that we get when it transitions to him being an older teen and it's raining. I had read all of that before. And it was if the rest of the book and movie adaptation is the same, then it's a really faithful adaptation.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was visually, this is a stunning, stunning movie. A visual feast. And I said, I love a movie that has a clear color story. Like, they knew what they were doing with their colors, and they were so rich and beautiful and vibrant. And even that scene I was just talking about where we transition to a teenage Pi, and he talks about how he lost all his, you know, his zest for life and his, not really his faith, but he lost his zest for life after that incident with Richard Parker. We get that dull gray rain and it's very muted colors. And I thought that was so well done. Most of my notes are just shots that I enjoyed.
Yay! You're gonna have a shot list. I love that.
I do.
So me and Crystal had seen this before, right?
Mm-hmm. Did you see it in theaters, Joy?
I did, and thank God I did. Yeah, I'm so jealous. Like my eyes. It's great. Wow. My mom has always had this obsession with like tigers and like loving tigers and like jungle animals and stuff. So she saw the trailer and she was like, "Oh, we have to go see that." So we went to go see it because of that. And you know, there was like so much more to it, which was so great. Seeing it on a big screen, like the colors and the lights and the it was just fun. It was a really good like theater experience. That one's definitely worth seeing in the theaters.
It's on the list of movies that I wish I had seen in theaters. I had seen it. Because this is a movie that, like, no one I know would have gone with me. So I didn't see it in the theaters. I remember renting it and watching it in my mom's living room going, oh, I want to be in a bigger screen. I want to engulf in all of this because it's just so rich in color. It's so vibrant. It's so much is just there. And it's such an experience. And I remember when they released in theaters, this is when 3D was a huge deal. Like, every movie was in 3D. And I was like, really 3D? But for this, it makes sense. I wanted to be in 3D. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be immersed in everything. Yeah, I remember really loving it the first time I watched it. And I haven't seen it since then. I've only seen it the one time. I don't know. I kind of feel like it hit me harder this time, maybe because I'm an adult now. I'm a little bit more mature than I was when I watched it the first time in 20 whatever. I don't know. I felt it in my bones a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's interesting conversations it brings up. It's about religion, about faith, about who you are, the things that make you who you are, what is real, what is not, you know, what you choose to believe, what things like that. It's a really interesting conversation starter. And then it's beautifully crafted. This is a score that I listen to like on the repeat. I guess I listen to it this day. It's so great. Michael Dana does a really good job. The score's also a character. Yeah, I love it.
So
I love, sorry.
Oh no, I didn't see your hand. You're good.
I love the idea. I was intrigued by it back then, 10 years ago when we saw this. And I'm more intrigued by it now. The idea of following three different religions. And I know as a group, we've talked about like, you know, our interest in like other religions and other faiths and things like that. And I, you know, one day I hope to be able to learn even more and be able to visit other, you know, places of worship and other countries where people have all different kinds of faiths. But I love when, I don't know if it was like a quote from the book, but faith is a house with many rooms. Mm-hmm. And that people don't always perceive it the same way, or it doesn't mean the same thing to me as it does to either of you or, you know, anybody else. I love that it's so personal. And I think a lot of the times in the world, people forget that it's also like a personal experience that you're having. And I love how this addresses it as like in a spiritual way. It's not just like, yes, he's doing, you know, the prayers at the certain times of the day. And yes, he's like doing his, what is it called? The Catholic thing before you
sign of the cross.
Thank you. But it's also like it's what's feeding his spirit, what feeds him at that moment. So, oh, it's such a great, great concept that, you know, I hadn't really been like shown or solidified in that sort of way before I saw this. And especially now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, because like, you know, God appeared to him in so many different ways, and it's not, it's the same, but it isn't. It's so interesting.
I appreciated, I really loved what the mother said at the dinner table was, science explains the world around us, but it doesn't explain what's in here and who we are. I thought that was a really great explanation for a child to be like, mm-hmm. It's okay for you to explore this. But what I also appreciated was that it wasn't preachy. It wasn't like, I follow these religions and he only spoke about those religions and he only like, you know, tried to spread it or preach it or whatever. He was just, this is what worked for him. And this is what made him feel. This is what made him feel. This is what made him feel alive. And I enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like I feel very personally similar to that because I did grow up in a church, but I don't adhere to all of those as much anymore. I think it's just more of like you said, a feeling. It's what's in here that matters. It's like, I think he's a Catholic Hindu or something. Is that what he called himself in the beginning? I've read, and he's like Catholic. He's like, we get to feel guilty before hundreds of gods instead of just one. That was really funny. Because he's gone through so much in his life, and he knows that there's not just one way. And that's really interesting. And like you said, Anna, it's not preachy. It just kind of presents the information and lets you take it.
But also what I think,
I love that he was exposed to religions as a child. That's so important. Mm-hmm. Like I remember being interested in that, but like being afraid to say anything because whatever. But I love that he's at the dinner table and he's like praying and they're like, what are you doing? Like, that's not like, I don't, I just love the encouragement that his mother was like, you know, it's fine. It's okay. He's doing his thing. Let him figure it out. I love it.
I also think, you know, his mother is a scientist and to some extent his father, and he approached religion scientifically. Like, he tested the waters. He was testing the hypothesis of, like, is this religion for me? Is this where I fit in? And I thought it was handled very, very well with smart, delicate hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also wrote a quote here that I thought was very interesting. He says in the beginning when he's talking to the reporter, he's like, that makes no sense. Sacrificing the innocent to atone for the sins of the guilty. What kind of love is that? That's a great question.
Yeah. You know,
Again, this movie does a really good job of promoting conversations, and I really, really mm-hmm. enjoy that.
Speaking of the writer, I really like that actor. And his name is escaping me, Richard.
I just had it. No, because go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it reminds me of Ralph Fiennes, but it's not obviously Ralph Fiennes. He's got a name like that.
Irfan Khan?
No.
You're talking about the older version of him?
Yeah, I didn't know he died.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last year, I think.
It was so sad, yeah.
No, I'm talking about...
I thought of this movie whenever I heard the news about it.
No, I'm talking about the writer, Rafe Spall, the white guy.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy him. I've seen him in a few things, and I really enjoy his career as an actor.
What has he been doing? What
does
he do?
He did a Netflix movie, horror movie called The Ritual that I really enjoyed. He was also in that Showtime show that nobody watched but me, Roadies, that I enjoyed.
Why do you know what that is?
It's about...
Go ahead.
That's with Luke Wilson, and it's about roadies, like the people that go on the road with a rock band.
I think it had like a killer soundtrack, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. I love the soundtrack.
I only watched the pilot of that.
It wasn't like anything amazing, but I enjoyed it. He's also just popped up in a bunch of things that I just enjoy him. I really want to say there was one other thing, but I can't think of it.
That's okay.
He was in Prometheus.
Mm.
He was one of the two guys that stayed behind at the very beginning, when they first go down and they died. Anyway. Yeah.
You know what's crazy to me? It's crazy to me that a little boat, like a light boat, can survive like all those waves, but a ship can't. Like, I know, like, water in it, and whatever. But, like, in my brain, like, I just think, like, a boat is so much smaller and a ship is so much bigger. Like, how can one... The sea to me is very scary. So it's just like, I don't know. That whole sequence when the water is coming into the boat and like he goes underneath and he's underwater and he's like the zebra coming by him, or just all of that whole sequence was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
I'm
scared.
I am somebody who does not enjoy watching animals suffer on screen. I hate when they use an animal to represent like suffering or whatever, and they show it suffering and dying or whatever. It drives me nuts, and I hate it. And I hated watching all those animals die. I hated it. I hated it.
I can only imagine like how, I mean, he suffered so much, and part of that was having to see like these animals like go at each other, like literally like 5 feet away from him, and him having to, I keep thinking like it wasn't like overly gratuitous in the way that it showed us what was happening, because the tarp was kind of covering it and it was more shots on him and his reactions. But I can only imagine like hearing the sounds of them after they've been attacked, and like you have to like sit there and live with it because you can't go anywhere, and like how that like hurt him and changed him.
Yeah, that I've seen this movie before, but like when Richard Parker attacks the hyena, I literally like screamed out loud. Like it was so
that was a
so
good effective. Jump scare.
Yeah, it's so effective because he comes at the camera and I just like I was like, oh wow, not me screaming when Richard Parker attacks the camera. yeah, I think I really like that this movie is PG because I like that it's has a multi-quadrant appeal. I think it's really important for, even though the younger teenagers, kids won't exactly get it, they'll see. And I think that's the reason why people, like Greek mythology, or the Bible, really, when they tell stories, they kind of like condense it down to something that's easy for everyone to understand. This is very much like that. And I really enjoy that. I really like that. Like I could show Charlie this and it'll still be great years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, making my brother watch it when he was younger, not really paying attention much, but I know if I show him now, he'll look at it completely different. I just think that movies like that are so important, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and jump to the end.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I guess go ahead.
So it was kind of spoiled for me back when I was working at the Great Wolf Lodge. Have you ever been, like, have you ever started a job and everyone's like, oh, you're really not going to like so-and-so? I started this job and everyone's like, this person, oh, you work with this person tomorrow, oh, you're not really going to like him. And I was very offended. I was like, I'll decide that for myself. Thank you. Turns out they were right. I couldn't stand the dude. Really couldn't stand the dude, and he spoiled the end of this movie for me. And I, for the longest time, thought he was kidding. And he was doing it just to be a pain in the ass, like making up something. And then we got to the end of the movie, and I was like, fucking bastard, you were right. About the whole cannibalism part of it.
Why would you ruin a movie? Like, people who do that...
Assholes.
Straight to hell. It's so rude. Why?
I just love seeing people be miserable.
I hope they have terrible days. I hope they have... Their car breaks down and they're stranded on the side of the road. That's what I have.
At the 105 degree heat, that would be great.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a TikTok of someone doing kind insults, and my favorite one was, I hope you never find the cold side of the pillow.
Eggs. I hope you lose your keys and you can't go to work. That's maybe not kind, but whatever.
Yeah. But I did find an interesting piece of trivia on IMDb. The name Richard Parker has been previously associated with shipwrecks. In Edgar Allan Poe's novel, The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket, published in 1838, Richard Parker is a member of a group of shipwreck sailors who resort to cannibalism. In 1884, a ship called Mignonette sank in the ocean. Four people survived, including a cabin boy named Richard Parker, who was subsequently killed and eaten by the other three survivors. So I love that the name was chosen with intention.
Yeah.
And the name that it was switched to was because he was supposed to be named Thirsty, I think. I think I had something else saved about that. Oh, when Pi is drinking holy water in the church, the priest offers him a glass of water saying, "You must be thirsty." And the original name for the tiger was Thirsty. Oh. Which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A good parallel.
Between this and Titanic, I don't ever want to be out alone at sea. Like, there's too many. And then Castaway, like, I don't know. Do not. I don't even want. No. No. Just no.
You know what's funny is, like, the ocean scares me, but space doesn't. I'm not really sure why, because they're both, like, so big and, like, a lot of it's unknown. I don't know. Maybe because like space feels like just like vibes to me, you know? Ocean just feels like sharks. I don't know.
I think some of you will never catch me on a cruise. I'd have to be heavily sedated to be on a cruise. Part of it is, I mean, maybe if we just stayed along the coast, I'd be okay. But get me out in open water where there's nothing around, and I think I'd have a panic attack. And I think it's because I know that there is help nearby. Like, there is land somewhere. But when you're in space, because I have the same thing as you, Crystal, like, space doesn't freak me out as much. I know there's no one out there. I know there's nothing out there that's going to come, that can come and save me quickly. I know there's not a helicopter that can drop down a ladder and I can climb up. So I think, like, knowing that makes it a little easier. But being in the ocean, being like, someone could come at any moment and save me, that, it, like, having that idea, that notion, would kill me.
Which, it's so, that's so interesting, because, like, I'm terrified of space. I'm like, the opposite. Like, I don't want to be in the middle of an open ocean either, but, like, being in the water feels like, I feel like I have enough respect for the ocean. Like, the ocean could kill me immediately. And I know space could kill me, too, but, like, space feels like there's way more space than there is ocean, so that's way scarier. Like, the ocean... The ocean is finite. There's like an end to the ocean, but there's so much space, and I'll never know the end of space. There's always more space than other universe, and that's just like, that's terrifying. That's terrifying. No. Ugh, no.
Don't get me wrong.
I hate watching space shit. It just freaks me out.
Me too. I love the ocean. I love being in the ocean on the beach. The ocean and I are longtime friends, and I respect her very much, but you would have to kill me to get me out into the middle of it, I think.
Yeah, again, space is vibes to me, and ocean is not, so I don't know how to describe it other than that.
That description?
It's just vibes. I don't know.
You know what I would love to see, though? Like, I don't want to be out in the ocean with no land around for like a long period of time, but especially in like the image and the way they painted it in the movie, being in the middle of the ocean and like there's no waves, everything is so still, and like it's basically just a giant mirror of the sky. And it looks like there's no end and no beginning. That is just beautiful to me. Like that. Oh my God. Like, I know, poor guy, he's like suffering and he's stranded, but like, oh my God, that image alone probably would have kept me alive another couple of days. I would have been like, well, that's real beauty. And it just, my eyes work. Thank you. And that's great. And just for a moment, I'd be happy.
Going off what you said, like, I love the shot of the boat in the distance and above and below it, like the stars from sky make it look like space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Like, there's so many great shots, but I just thought of that one right now. You said it.
The shot with the
someone
whale.
Else to join the podcast.
Oh, sorry.
It's like,
I'm not, I don't even register it anymore. Rocket. Hey, what's up?
He's telling you what he thinks of Life of Pi.
He liked it.
He enjoyed watching the tiger. He was very. Oh, really? There were some moments where I caught him just like staring at the screen. But the scene with the whale.
Oh my god!
I cried. That beautiful, like everything was illuminated, and then the whale came out, and it was so gorgeous. Of course, it sucked because it like ruined all his supplies, but. God, that was a gorgeous scene.
And that's one of my favorite tracks in the soundtrack. The crescendo when the whale comes out of the water. That piece of that, I forgot the name of it. I need to look it up. But it's so beautiful. Ugh, everything about it.
Also, I loved the shot after the cargo ship sank of him going underwater and looking at the boat still illuminated.
Yes. Oh my God, that shot was
the silhouette.
So gorgeous. I loved how clear underwater was at that moment.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But, it was like a moment of stillness in all of this chaotic mess. Really, that was really good.
That's good.
I think we talked about this already, but the shot of the ocean mirroring the sky. Just a huge mirror, not necessarily of space, but like when it was like orange and the sun was setting, all that was so beautiful. Oh my God.
Clouds. So Pi basically used behavioral science, Pavlov's dogs, you know, to train Richard Parker. And I was like, oh, this is what I did in school without the tiger. but I definitely took a class on this.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a project. We had to train an animal or a person. But most of us did our dogs.
I'm sorry. I noticed in the flying fish scene that it changed to widescreen, which I thought was very interesting.
There was a couple of times. Yeah, it changes from widescreen. And then there was one time that it faded to black and it came back just on like... what is it, 4x5 on a more square proportion? And yeah, there was a couple of times it shifted and I thought that was really nice. It went, I can't remember exactly what points of transition it was, but it made sense with the shots.
My last note, I didn't write a lot of notes for this, but one of my last ones is, I'm so fucking glad Richard Parker didn't die. And I'm not sure... I think that was when he had jumped into the water and he was trying to figure out how to get him back into the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, that scene was killing me because he was so sad.
He looked so sad. I don't know. The CGI in this is like really great because like all the animals, I don't know if it was the story or the CGI or the combination of both, but like all the animals had very like human elements to them. Like they had like their eyes and their facial expressions, like I was like, these are alive. I know they're alive. Like, I know that, like, animals, you know, they like, exist and they have stuff the way they don't think exactly the same, but, you know, they have that, so, like, they consciousness. Emote. Yeah. But I was just, like, watching it and, like, which is funny, like, I saw it on the big screen, but, like, here it was, like, so much closer. I was like, oh, my God, they're looking at me. It was a really interesting experience. I really like that.
I thought the same thing too. I felt that they were very, like you said, like lifelike, even though they're alive. But I think that's on purpose because later on when he's talking to the police, he's telling them like comparing stories of like what really happened. I think that's on purpose. Which I didn't click to me until I saw that scene. I was like, oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. He's recalling it in a way that's better for him to process.
Yeah.
Again, very interesting.
And the orangutan, when he asked, like, where's your baby? And he was really asking, like, where's Robbie?
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. Yeah. And I love the guy was hung up on bananas don't float, which turns out they do, apparently.
So he was wrong anyways, so. Anna, do you want to give us your shot list, or did we already go through it?
We already went through. It was the sky and the whale and the... Yeah, we already talked about him.
Yeah. I didn't have a shot list because everything just looks so good. And if I had a shot list, I'd just be sitting here for the entirety of the movie.
Sorry, go ahead, Anna.
I was just going to say, I really appreciated the screenplay and the flipping back and forth between the older Pi talking to the writer. I thought it was so well balanced, and it wasn't too much, and it wasn't too little... I really appreciated the balance of the script.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a movie where we can all agree we're thankful that we have the gift of sight, for sure.
Yes.
I need to make a letterbox list of this now that I think about it, but I'm so happy that I can see, I'm able to have, even though I wear glasses, I have the gift of my sight to see something so beautiful and rich and meaningful and layered. And again, a gift of hearing, because it sounded gorgeous too. So thank you for my senses.
Also, what the fuck is up, Academy, with Ang Lee being able to win Best Director, but he can't win Best Picture?
Yeah, and this was the first movie in 7 years to receive the Oscar for Best Director without winning Best Oscar for Best Picture.
Really?
The last time was Back Mountain with Ang Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this changed, Parasite changed a lot of things, but we'll talk about this. No, we'll just get into it now. Movies like this that feature non-Western popular people tend to not do well acting-wise because they don't see them as individuals. They see them as like, oh, this is a great movie for this or a great movie for that. Ang Lee for Brokeback Mountain got a lot of acclaim because of Crouching Tiger before that. That was also, you know, Crouching Tiger, we'll get there years from now, but like that revolutionary choreography, like it changed the game in movies for sure. But with this is why, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name, the elite actor. Let me look him up. I'm so sorry.
Siraj Sharma.
He should have been nominated for Best Actor. The fact that he's not there, well, we know why he's not there, but it's ridiculous to me. Yeah. He is the movie. He literally carries that movie. He's acting against nothing. There's not a tiger there, Academy, in case you didn't know. There's not an orangutan there, in case you didn't know, Academy. Like, he is giving every single part of him in that movie. And the fact that he's not there is criminal to me. Criminal. Like, take Hugh Jackman out of here and put him there.
Amen.
I cannot believe that he was not nominated. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Also, did not realize that that was him in How I Met Your Father.
Yeah. Look at him. He's great. And then, again, who plays, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Irfan Khan.
Irfan Khan, best supporting actor as well.
He should have been there too, yeah.
He's giving so much emotion and just speaking to him. And like, towards the end when he's telling him like, I suppose in the end, the whole of life becomes an act of letting go. That's a great line. And he's giving all he can in that one line. He's getting, his eyes are watering. He's reliving the story that this traumatic event that he went through, losing his entire family. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. All that's so good. And he's in one contained room and he's giving you so much good work there. Like, I don't understand why he wasn't supporting actor. I don't understand it.
Also, go ahead.
There's a reason why, like, director, like, he got the director nod because, like, he made the choice. This is his moment. We're going to stay on him and we're not moving because this, I know what I have in the capacity. I know what this actor can do. I know what this story is giving. This choice, it's going to stay right here. The camera stays right here. Considering that, like, so much of the movie is, like, a visual spectacle, but he knew when was the right moment to stay there.
Oh, damn. I think I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry. Oh, I got so passionate about it.
No. It's okay. Oh, damn. It's gone. If I think of it again, I'll come back in.
That's why I was going to hold off on my conversation with Best Actor, who should replace Hugh Jackman, because I was like, I knew I was going to have some thoughts.
100%. No, I completely agree with you. He did phenomenal in this film. And he's only a year older than me. He's your age, Joy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I also equate this to, when we'll get there, Slumdog Millionaire. Dev Patel was phenomenal in that movie, and it didn't get any actor. Frida Pinto was also really great. And it was, it won, but still, like, that's a problem with Hollywood, is they don't see these movies as, like, their movies. They just see, like, oh, it's cool, it's a foreign movie, it's fine, whatever. They don't see it as, like, all that it is, all that it could be. So that's why, even though Parasite didn't get any Best Actor noms, winning was the big deal. It's winning all its awards. I really do feel like that was the tides of change, for sure. And then we're not talking about this, but like Emmy wise, all of the nominations for Squid Game, individual actors, is a big deal because like I said before, we all just see it as clumped as one, and all these individual actors getting these accolades as well is really good progress.
I still need to watch Squid Game.
Oh, that's right. You haven't seen it.
Oh my God. I haven't finished it. I have two episodes left.
What I was gonna say earlier, I finally remember, was if we go back to the beginning when all the animals are on the boat and we put in perspective the actual story we know now, that orangutan was his mother.
Yeah.
And we had to watch her. He watched her die. He watched those people die. Like, when you go back and reframe it, it's like, oh shit. What that kid was actually witnessing.
Yeah.
And then he didn't get fucking nominated.
It's ridiculous. Between him and Irfan Khan, yeah. They both should have been nominated. And I would say in the supporting actor race, I would have definitely put my money on Irfan Khan. Like, yes, yeah. Christopher Wallace is great, but like, as like performance wise and how it serves the story and as being a supporting actor, it would have been here.
Or the dad from Beast of a Southern Wild.
Yeah.
Oh, he was great too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Dwight Henry, excuse me.
What great supporting actor performances we've had this year. Oh, so good.
Also, Irfan Khan has been acting for a long time. Like, even at time, he was a staple.
He was in Slumdog too, right?
Yeah, I believe.
Actually, he was?
Sure. Sure. He's done a lot. He's been, even not in Hollywood, he's been acting for a good bit. So him, yeah, it was Slumdog, you're right.
He was.
He's also in Jurassic World as well.
Yeah, he was. He was great.
Yeah, so it would have been a great way to give a seasoned actor his due, but, you know, Academy is whatever.
Academy only does that for certain kind of people.
I wrote down, he was on the boat for 227 days.
How long is that? That's a lot. That's almost a year.
That's nuts.
Which, fun fact, 22 divided by 7 is a good approximation for 3.14 pi.
Oh.
Oh my God.
There was a lot of little nods like that throughout the film.
If you're smart, you'll get it.
And like,
I'm not so smart.
Well, I read the trivia. also, like, I read that the shape of the Mariana Trench, when you see the map, and also the shape of the island, are obviously Vishnu. Because he talks about the face of Vishnu or whatever. So little nods like that throughout. There was one other thing that was the shape of Vishnu that I can't remember.
That's so cool.
But yeah, I love when there's so much thought and intention in a movie. Like, even if you don't catch it, it really makes the movie.
Completely agree. Yeah.
All right. Do we want to do categories?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Best picture.
Girl, 100%. Yes. Oh my God.
Yes.
Imagine if we said no.
Maybe.
Okay, best director, Ang Lee. Yes.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And again, what you said about like he knows when to put his hand to things and when not to. He knows when to let his actors be actors and let it play, but also when to like give direction to keep it going. Fantastic.
Speaking of which, I think I mentioned this. I don't know if I did. So I went back because I knew we were doing Life of Pi. I was like, Ang Lee, I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain since I was a youth. Let me try watching it. I am broken inside. But thank you, Ang Lee, because I can see what I really want to do is watch it to like see if I can see like a comparison of his directing style. And he's very invested in his material. You can tell he cares about the material. I'm really interested to go back and rewatch Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon at some point in the next couple of weeks. Because he's very, like, almost gave me, like, the same feeling I get from Barry Jenkins. Barry Jenkins very much knows, like, understands his actors and understands, like, being intimate with the character, like really like knowing and trying to have us understand a character. And he did such a good job in it with this, and like such a good job in Brokeback Mountain. He just really knows his characters. He really knows his characters. He's really invested in the story. God damn it. He's such a good actor. He's such a good director. He's a really, really good director. And I'm glad he won for this because, yeah, he deserved it. Best actor. Oh, we just did that. Well.
Best actor.
Oh, no. I meant,
don't get me mad again.
Adapted screenplay.
Anna, since you read some of it.
I would go ahead and say sure. It definitely felt, when I was reading it, it was very conversational. So it made, I don't think I got to a part where I knew he was talking to a writer. But it makes sense that he was. Because it felt like the narrator was just like, here, I have, let me tell you what happened to me. And this is what was going on. So I would say it's a good adaptation from the little that I read. What one adaptation?
For Argo. Argo, which we will get there.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the next one?
Original score.
Okay. Yes, 1,000 times yes. I really, really love it. It won that award, so
shout out. It did win.
I actually I haven't heard Anna Carnita, but I love Dario Martinelli. I think he's really great. So yeah, it's my favorite of all of them, actually. So I'm okay with this win. Michael Janna does a really great job. So here for you.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
And then original song, Pie's Lullaby. Which one was that? Was it in the movie? Am I blanking?
Yes, but I don't remember where. I don't know. I don't remember where it is, but yay for it.
Either.
Okay. Sound editing. It was sound editing and sound mixing.
Sure.
We said a million times that we're not good at or we don't know enough about this to comment. But yeah, sure. Yay, you guys.
Yay.
You guys.
Best cinematography.
Oh yes. My God. Yeah, and it won, and it should have.
You know what? I also need to rewatch Skyfall. I remember that having really good cinematography too.
It's our boy Roger Deakins. Of course it's great.
I know.
Hi. I just started my James Bond watch.
That's right.
I watched Goldfinger. Goldfinger. I watched Dr. No.
What is it supposed to be called? I don't get it.
It's Dr. No. Goldfinger is just another
movie.
Bond movie.
Whoa!
I just haven't gotten there yet.
Why is he Dr. No? Does he always say no all the time?
No.
Or does he like know things?
Ah!
No, but okay. I am really interested because they mentioned a group called Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it's tied into the James Bond movie Spectre.
I would imagine.
I would too, but they're like, that's the Daniel Craig era, and this is the very first one. So I was like, ooh, I know that word.
What's the same like more, right? It's the same, it's just different actors? I don't know.
It's the same, secret agency.
It's like a title. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a title, but I'm just interested in how
that ties in.
Yeah, I'm interested to see when I get to Spectre, how they're gonna the history of the Spectre group or whatever. Anyway, I just thought it was cool that I caught an Easter egg.
I love that.
But it wasn't as campy as I thought it would be. Sean Connery is just so delicious.
Really? I want to see an old Sean Connery. Maybe I'll watch that. Where did you see it?
I got my dad to get them for me.
Oh, okay. Got it. Best film editing.
Yeah.
I actually thought the editing in this was so good. There were so many good, really smooth transitions where, the visual effects in this is really good, where they're, it's showing, which one was it? The one where his uncle is at the pool in France. And it goes from one plane to like another plane. And it just, oh, it was so good. It was so like, my brain was just like, agreed. Delicious. And it lost editing to Argo.
Which I don't, I'm going to say that process is going to, product guys is going to be like 3 days long. I'll save it. And I know this isn't about movies, but I just watched Severance last night. I finished it and it's nominated for Emmy for best editing. And wow. Anyways, sorry. Next one. Visual effects.
It did. As it should.
The Hobbit, The Avengers, Prometheus, and Snow White and the Huntsman.
And that is the correct choice.
Yeah. I mean, between The Hobbit and I'm getting a call. Between Between The Hobbit, and Prometheus, that's and Life of Pi, that's a good category, those three. But yeah, the visuals in this were so stunning.
Yeah, you just can't beat it. It's just too good.
Too good. Too good.
All righty.
Did we go do production design?
We did it. We skipped that. I'm sorry, production design.
Important.
I know we didn't talk about it. I forgot. They're on that island and they see all the animals and they glow in the dark. Oh, that was so good.
All the meerkats. And I don't know why it made me cry when he got back on the boat and he blew the whistle and Richard Parker came running. I was like, oh, he loves him.
Who, Richard Parker loves him? Does he though? Because he like totally got off the boat at the very end, like didn't even look back.
That's because Richard Parker wasn't really there. But that scene just made me like cry.
Production design, it lost to Lincoln. I haven't seen Lincoln yet, so I can't make a decision.
Maybe because
they love their historical.
Well, Lincoln has a lot more practical sense, whereas like this wasn't. So I guess I kind of get that, but we'll get more into that later.
I guess technically.
Is that the next movie we're watching?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think between Lincoln and this one, there really is only one major set piece, and that's the boat. And although it goes through major, many iterations, you know, like between his raft and all of that, it is kind of just one major set piece to where Lincoln has a lot of historical set pieces.
Right.
People love that shit.
And also, like, the boat, and then when he's still a young kid in his house, all that's beautiful. The church, like the blue doors of the church were really beautiful, all that stuff.
The zoo is gorgeous.
To me, this could have won everything I wanted to find.
Yeah, amen.
Do you want to do a rankings?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh my god, I didn't say shit.
I have a feeling they're all going to be the same again. Crystal, you go first.
Okay. So at the bottom, I have Django Unchained. Then it's Javert's favorite criminal or prisoner or Les Miserables. Amour, Beast of the Southern Wild, and Life of Pi is number one for me.
Mine is the exact same list.
Although I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it in this moment or how I feel about it later, but I feel like Life and Pi and Beast of the Southern Wild might be interchangeable. But that's just how I feel right now.
It's interesting because those movies, I saw that, Joy. Those both movies are, I feel like if you compare them to, like, Life and Pi is very fantastical and it's like the extreme of like living around water and like going through struggles, whereas Beast of the Southern Wild is more like ingrained, it's grounded, it's more of a serious type of situation. So they hit some similar points, but opposite ends of the spectrum. And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. That's a really good, like, double feature.
Yeah. Actually. And I think just because personally I was so enthralled with Life of Pi and very touched by some of the dialogue that I now if I think about it more, I'm thinking there's I don't know, that's hard. But yeah,
it's,
I think
it's hard because they're both really good and like it's kind of like children having to survive on their own.
Yeah. Coming of age story in the extreme circumstances, you know.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Very good. Good stuff, man.
But that's Life of Pi. I would recommend it.
I would too. Yeah, I recommended it to my aunt last night. She asked me how the movie was, and I was like, you should watch it. It was really beautiful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If they ever, I don't know if they ever will, but if it's ever in a theater near you, please watch it. I'm going to watch it. If it's, I don't know that it ever will be, but I will go because. Yeah. That's it. That's all. That's the podcast. We did it.
Woo! Bye.
Woo!
Bye. Bye.